We're going to do something. How many of you have heard of an influencer? It's a big word today. Everybody's an influencer. Trouble is with influencers, sometimes they don't influence in the way you want. I mean, remember the Bud Light debacle? They still haven't recovered from that. They hired a trans influencer. Kind of a dumb idea if you think about it. On more than one level, especially because they're trying to get redneck beer drinkers to relate to this trans person. I can't say what they were because I don't remember what they originally were. It's bad when you're changing so much, nobody knows what you originally were. I think it was a guy that said he was a girl. But anyways, influence is a very powerful thing. And the truth is we're all open to influence. We're open to that. And today, kids do crazy things because of the influence of social media. And, you know, but how many know influence is not new? It's just, it's more accessible. Large crowds are more accessible. We had a joke in our family because we had a school teacher that was named Mr. McDonald. And whenever any of us was in Mr. McDonald's class, we'd come home, Mr. McDonald said this. Well, Mr. McDonald said that. And so with each kid that went through, they had to go through the Mr. McDonald phase. Now, that's honestly a sign of a good teacher, right? He wasn't telling us what our gender was. He was telling us about science and math and all kinds of things. Amen? But influence is a powerful thing. Little kids. I have a cousin that had a school teacher. He was raised in a Christian home, but he had a school teacher that was an atheist. And he's probably in his 50s today, and he's an atheist today. You know why? Because somebody influenced him wrongly. Kids grow up, they go to, I was talking to another person recently, and they raised their child, and they were a conservative family, and they sent their child off to, I don't remember, one of their schools up in Denver area, and the influence of that college changed that person diabolically. They're entirely a different person. It's like they lost their brain. Because of influence. So I want to talk to you about influence today. And I want you to see in the Word of God. And I want you to consider it from two sides today. Number one is your power to influence. Number two, at the end, we're going to consider what's influencing you. Because it's very important. Now, in the Bible, what kind of stirred this message was I was reading about a king named King Joash. And we're going to look at his life in just a moment. But let me first give you a working definition. What do we mean by influence? Influence is the act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. The capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. So influence is where we don't directly control something necessarily, but it's an effect. It's an influential effect. It's exerting. Influence is literally a force that works out of our lives in a subtle, sometimes subtle or quiet manner. And it goes beyond the command or the order. It's deeply rooted in behavior and character, good or bad. And so we want to consider this today and how people affect people, really, is what we're getting down to. And so in the book of 2 Chronicles, you will read the succession, you know, in that time, the northern kingdom split from the southern kingdom, and so you have what we call Israel, and then you have what we call Judah, and they're separate. They after they broke apart, Israel. I mean, I don't know if they ever got a good king. I can't remember all their kings, but Judah is the line of Jesus. We call him the Lion of Judah, right? And so, and that's where David came out of, and so. some of they had some really good kings and some really terrible kings and queens. And so we want to just look at this because there, what caught my attention is there was a king named Joash, and you can read about him in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1. It says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash, now watch this very carefully, Joash did that which was right. Now, a lot of times when you read about these kings, it says they did what was right all the days of their life. But watch this. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So I want you to think about that. All the days of Jehoiada the priest. I'm going to challenge you something. I think something that's been really lost with all the electronic stuff is electronic Bibles. I'm going to challenge you. I saw in Colorado Springs where they're stopping putting the scriptures up. We never got into it, but how many just know, bring your Bible. Bring your churches to Bible. Did you hear me? Bring your Bibles to church, right? And look stuff up. Get to know. You know, this Bible needs to be the love of your life. There needs to be where comfort from. It needs to be where correction comes from. And there's so many things that will help you. That's just for free. Amen. I just thought of that this morning. So bring your Bibles, look up scriptures, mark the main text. Don't hurt to take a few notes. So 2 Chronicles 24. And so all the days of Jehoiada. Now Jehoiada was not a king. He was a priest. And all the days of Jehoiada, so there was quite a few days because Jehoiada lived a long time, but this king did well. Now, let me show you why this is important. So if you back up kind of the lineage of kings, and let's just start with King Jehoshaphat. He became king at the age of 35. He ruled 25 years, and he followed his father's steps, King Asa, and it says that, so Jehoshaphat ruled over the land of Judah, and he was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shili. Now, let me just say something. Again and again, you will see the son, but they say his mother was this person. Ladies, let me tell you a very powerful truth. A woman's gift is influence. She's influential. And it's a very powerful place, and that's why you will see, and you're going to see as we look today, a mom, you know, what they say, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. So a mom's influence is for the good or for the bad is very, very powerful. So we have Jehoshaphat, and he rules. He's good. He has influence upon the land. And then the next king, though, is Jehoram. He takes over. And his father was great, but his mother was an Ahab, down from the line of Ahab. How many were Ahab and Jezebel? And so this guy, let me just say, so here's a mother's influence that begins to work, and something bad happens. Something comes down line from that. And so this guy's a piece of work. He murders his six brothers. It's pretty bad, isn't it? And it says he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Listen to what Elijah said about him. 2 Chronicles 21:12 says, then Elijah the prophet wrote Jehoram this letter. This is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. You have not followed the good example. He had a good example. You have not followed the good example or the influence of your father Jehoshaphat or your grandfather King Asa of Judah. Instead, you have been as evil as the kings of Israel. You have led the people of Jerusalem and Judah to worship idols just as King Ahab did in Israel. And you have even killed your own brothers, men who were better than you. So now the Lord is about to strike you, your people, your children, your wives, and all that is yours with a heavy blow. And you yourself will suffer with a severe intestinal disease that will get worse each day until your bowels come out. pretty intense, isn't it? God's serious about how we influence those around us. God's serious. You know, there's a scripture that says if you cause somebody else to stumble, it's better that a rock be tied around your neck and thrown into a river or a lake or whatever. How many know this influence thing is serious? God is serious about it. He's going to hold us to account about our influence. So this guy reigned, Jehoram reigned 8 years, and it says nobody was sorry when he died. That's what they put on his tombstone. Nobody was sorry when he died. And then Ahaziah became king. Now watch again, influence. So Ahaziah was king 1 year. His mother was Athaliah. Don't ever, ever name your kid Athaliah. She was a pagan influencer. Unbelievable. She was directly down from Jezebel. Jezebel's all through the Bible because of influence, right? The spirit of Jezebel is even all through the Bible. So it says 2 Chronicles 22, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. And his mother was Athaliah, a granddaughter of King Omri. Ahaziah also followed the evil example of King Ahab's family, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. And he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Ahab's family had done. And they even became his advisors after the death of his father, and they led him to ruin. Again, they influenced him to ruin. You know, the devil will send people to influence you to ruin. Be careful when somebody comes into your life and all of a sudden you begin to really let them, you know, people that are always finding some new mentor or some new person to follow, that's a dangerous place. They come in and he's toast. So then, he dies. Let me just say this. Family influence is not always good. It can be good, but it can be horrible. So be careful with that. And so then Athaliah becomes queen. And at that point, God help us all. Because that woman was treacherous. She was Jezebel on steroids. And so she was a grandmother who hunted down every one of her grandkids and killed them so that she wouldn't have any competition for the throne. And I think if you could see her gravestone, it would just say wicked. She tracks down all these kids. She kills all of them except one of them. Because there was a godly priest, and his name was Jehoiada. And he has a good wife. He already has, he ended up having another child, I don't know, before or after that, but... And so they take this little baby, this little boy, and they hide him in the temple. And when Joash is 7 years, Jehoiada takes him out. He was seeking God about the right time to bring all of this about. And he publicly crowns him as king when he's 7 years old. And Athaliah, who they obviously didn't like either, she hears the shouting and what's going on, and she starts screaming, treason, treason. Isn't that crazy? Treason, treason. She's the biggest treason there ever was. And so she goes down there, and they have her and any defender of her executed. Good choice there. So then Joash is king. So let's read about this. So in 2 Chronicles 23:16, then Jehoiada is a priest, made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king that they should be the Lord's people. I want you to understand something. He has tremendous authority here, but he does not use it for himself, right? Joash is the king, and it says he makes a covenant between himself, the people, and the king. And he says, and all the people went to the temple of Baal, and they tore it down. And they broke in pieces the altars and the images, and they killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also, Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the land to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord. So he put the priests back in charge to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, and it was established by as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. So the first thing that happens, because of this man's influence, this young king, who he's very young to start with, but they begin reforms that affected, how many can see, good influence is good influence. It affected a nation. How many realize that? It affected, we've seen it with presidents, right? You get one president, and it's just like something begins to crumble. Why? Because there's a godless influence there. I guarantee you that our prior president had a lot of influence in this country in a wrong way. So he gets in there, he begins to influence, and if you read about, they'll say he restored the temple. He restored the house of God. He restored right worship. He restored the sacrifices. And through Joash, as Joash grew, there was tremendous influence on him. And so Joash brings some really wonderful reforms. The temple is completely repaired and restored. People were passionate about the things of God, all because of a priest's influence, all because of a godly man's influence. He wasn't the king. He just had good influence. So let's just stop right here for just a minute. Because Jehoiada, is somebody we could all learn from today. He's somebody we could all think about. All the years that he lived, there was this ongoing influence for good that affected a nation. How many realize that? Let's just move it down to a family. What about all the years you live? If you're doing right, you can influence a family for God. You can influence a family in a right direction. And like I said, he lived 130 years. He was buried. Watch this. When he was died, he was buried with the kings. He wasn't buried in where he normally would have gone. He was buried with the kings when he died because of his great godly influence. So Joash's father was evil. Joash's grandma was evil and crazy. But Joash serves God because of one man's influence. Never underestimate one person's influence. And hopefully that'll be your influence and my influence. You say, well, what's your influence in that family? You know, when my dad got saved in our family, there was nobody on the Bland side. Now, my mom's side, my grandma, she was, there was influence already working down on my mom's side. But my dad's side, there was nobody godly. There was nobody serving God. We didn't know about, they were drunken, fighting, crazy people. And so my dad got saved, and one man's influence in our family. And let me just say something here. You can have influence. It doesn't mean you're a perfect person. You got to repent. You got to get some things right, and actions do matter. But I'm going to tell you that one man's influence, I'm here today because, if my dad had not gotten saved, he wouldn't have gone to college. He wouldn't have met my mom, who's here today. That connection would never have come, but he had influence. So one mother, one grandma, one aunt, one uncle. How many remember Pastor Blake's testimony about an aunt and uncle? They were influential on his life. And if you're around Pastor Blake at all, you'll find that he speaks very highly of his parents, that he let them influence. When you got good parents, appreciate their influence. See, well, they weren't perfect. Well, neither are you. But do they have good influence? Are there some things that they've handed off, some things that you can glean from? So, one man's influence was very powerful. We read about King Joash, but we really need to think about a priest's influence, Jehoiada's influence. Now, anyone saved today is here because of someone else's influence. If you're saved today, someone else was influential in that decision. Somebody else went to preach the gospel where you were at. Somebody else prayed over you. Let me realize that. I honestly don't think anybody gets saved without somebody praying for them. I can't prove that scientifically, but I'm just telling you, people pray, even in general. Sometimes you pray over a region, you pray over an area. So someone prayed, somebody talked to us. I will say this, I was just contemplating in my life. I'm very, very thankful today for my mom who's here and my dad. I'm thankful for them. There was an influence there. You know, let me just tell you something about influence. You will not have influence if you don't deeply believe what you believe. It can't be this casual thing. In spite of any problem, do you deeply believe in Jesus Christ? Do you deeply believe in following after God with the whole heart? You have to deeply believe it. But I'm very thankful today for my mom and my dad. I'm very thankful today for my nanny, my mom's mom, who had tremendous influence. I'm very thankful today for Pastor Jones, who's been my pastor since forever. Amen. And he's influenced me. I'm so thankful for that. It's a powerful place. Now, let's think about influence again. Influence is powerful, and it's working all the time. I want you to realize that. Your influence, it's not like you say, today I'm going to influence people. But the next day, I don't feel so holy today. I'm going to turn the influence button off in my life. No. There's times I wish I could have turned it off. How about you? There's times I wish I could have turned it off. But understand, you are influencing all the time. You need to live life from a position and understand that I am always influenced, either negatively or positive. People are watching you. People are watching your choices. People are watching decisions. You can shout at your kids. You can tell them they need to do this. But they're watching mom and dad what you do. They're watching how you live. They're watching the choices and the consistency with which you live. And so it's always going. The kids see the consistent. You can tell your kids, read your Bible. Do they see you, mom and dad, reading your Bibles? Do they see you praying? Do they see you getting up and getting ready again and again going to church? I thank God for parents that took me to church. They didn't ask me if I wanted to go. It was assumed. We're going to church. Church is going. We're going. We got in that car, over the river, through the woods, went to church in Dolores, winter, summer. You had homework? Take it to church. Sat underneath the church bench, doing church. Usually we'd just fall asleep and slobber on mom's lap. Amen? But how many are glad there's an influence there? I guarantee you there's an influence there. You know, it wasn't such a, I'm just telling you, there's something going on when you take those kids with you. So your prayer, word, church, consistent daily routine is how you're going to influence. Compassionate acts that come from a heart of love, people will see. I've been influenced over the years, actually, it goes way back. I watched my parents minister to people. And you know what they did? They birthed in me a desire to help people. I watched my mom cook meals. I watched my dad visit people, reach out to people. I watched them care and pour time and prayer and finances into missions, into Africa and into missions. I watched people over the years where they stood up. See, you know what? One of the things that De Hoyda did is he taught people how to stand up. I'm glad for people that stand up, teach you how to stand up. And he said, you know what? We're not going down this trail with this godlessness in this nation. People that speak something. You know, when you stand up for something, you're influencing others to stand up. I told Pastor Jones a long time ago, President Trump has trained the whole next 20 years of politicians. He's taught them that you can stand, that you can fight certain things. And you can make a difference. So it's the person that refuses to go along with the world in sin. How many can remember somebody and you watch them say no and it influenced you? You watch them say, I'm not going along with that. I'm not going down that trail. I'm not taking that easy believism stuff. And so you watched the way that they walked out things in their home Homes aren't perfect, but let me tell you, parents, kids are watching how husbands and wives and families interact. Is there peace in that home? Is the blessing and the rest of God in the home? That's an influence upon them. And they'll grow up saying, I want my home to be like that home. I want my home to be like mom and dad's home was. It can work in the negative. I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody where they looked good in church, but when they went home, they just ate people for lunch. Finger licking good. You know how you eat people for lunch? You talk bad about them. And you're influencing your kids. You are doing terrible damage in that family. When you criticize, especially when you criticize leadership, I'm just telling you, it will influence those kids in the wrong direction. So influence is very, it's quiet. It's not always real direct, but it's powerful. I think one of the ways to describe influence is that it's like an aroma. So yesterday, Robin had to go do some things, and so before she left, she went and put how many like crock pot meals? I like crock pot meals. She put a roast in that crock pot with these pepper things in there, and carrots, and potatoes. And when I walked in that house, oh my goodness, it smelled good. Dude, some of you are smelling it with me right now. It is great. You know what? My wife didn't have to say one word. She didn't have to say, I cooked you a great meal today. I knew it because I smelled it. Are you with me? That's what influence is like. People get to know about God because you smell like God. You have the character of God. You're not flipping everybody off and running people off the road. Okay? There's an aroma about your life. And I believe we ought to pray. We need to take it serious because, again, I believe God's going to call us to account concerning our influence in the world and in our homes. Because we have an aroma about our lives. And we impart. You know, you can have an aroma of faith, an aroma of victory, an aroma of holiness, uncompromising, saying, you know what, you're not fudging around the edges on that all the time. You know, talked a little bit about my nanny, and it was just who she was. It wasn't so much what nanny said or some big Bible study she gave us, just who nanny was. There was just an aroma about her. We were so happy when they said that person died and nobody cared. We'd wait when nanny was coming. We'd wait all day. She had this little blue car, and we'd sit out there on road end. We'd be watching down the road for when nanny got there. Now, why? Because she smelled good. She smelled like God to us. We didn't even know what that smell was, but she smelled like God does. She smelled like hope to us. She would. There was something in her character. I love to be around people that have that aroma. Always sharing a good thought with you. Always reaching out to somebody, you get to observe that, how they treat people, how they interact with people, taking up for people. How many like people that take up for the little people in life? That's a good testimony. That's what Jehoiada did, didn't he? He took up for a baby that should have been dead and should have been killed. He took up for that little boy, took him in like his own kid. So, your influence. You know, there's people in this church, and you know what? Just faithful, year after year, you just keep doing certain things. And you think, well, it doesn't really. Yeah, you are influencing people. Now, you got to keep in mind too that it can also work in the negative. So you go back and Ahab and Jezebel ripped the future apart with their influence. And they grumbled and whined. Remember Ahab whining because he wanted the vineyard next? And Jezebel, wicked old woman that she was, she said, I'll get it for you. And they had the guy killed and handed it over. And so there was a tremendous downline effect from them. So let's consider this. Every action should be considered by its influence. You're getting ready to make a decision, right? You're getting ready to do something in life. You ought to ask yourself, how is this influencing people around me? How is this going to influence the church I go to? How is this going to influence the people on the job? How is this going to influence my children? Think about it, because kids are pretty smart. They figure things out. So consider that. Now, let's shift it here. Somebody said a man who has an argument is always at the mercy of a man who has an experience. A man who has an argument is always at the mercy of somebody that's lived it, of somebody that's had an experience. After Jehoiada dies, Joash begins to listen to somebody else. And so this is the question. Who are you listening to? Are you looking at the lives of people? Or are you just listening to who comes along? So after Jehoiada dies, these guys come in, and it shifts quickly. He listens to the wrong people. And so King Joash listens to the wrong people, and in no time, they have brought idols back in, Asherah poles back in, and they have turned around because, again, of wrong influence. Now, shame on him for being so weak in that. He should have gone back. You know what he should have said? What would Jehoiada have done? That's what he should have said. He shouldn't have just listened to all the, oh, Joash, if you do this, if people are going to love you, it's really what they want, and all of this stuff. But it gets worse. And so, remember, Jehoiada had another son. And even though Joash was raised as a child, he had a son named Zechariah. And finally, Zechariah couldn't take it anymore. And he was a prophet. He went, and he confronted Joash. And he said, you are wrong. 2 Chronicles 4:24, then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, the priest. And he stood before the people and he said, this is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from prospering? You have abandoned the Lord and now he has abandoned you. That's a strong word. Then the leaders plotted to kill Zechariah, and King Joash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. And that was how King Joash repaid Jehoiada for his loyalty. Wow. By killing his son. Zechariah's last words as he died were, may the Lord see what they are doing and avenge my death. And he did. Right? He did. We're reading about it today. It's for all the world to see. So this guy turned, and his influence, what I'm telling you is, it was the influence turning. He had every reason to do right and have a right influence, and he went the other direction. But his problem was he listened to the wrong people. Church, let me just say, none of us are immune from that. You can listen to the wrong people. Let me tell you, when you're shifting advisors all the time, you're going to be in trouble. Because there's always somebody new with some new podcast, with some new this, with some new that, with some new video clip. Be careful. And let me just say this. When the prophet, when the influencers of your life, and we all have them, hopefully they're good ones, but when the mama dies, when the dad dies, when the pastor dies, when the godly person dies, what's going to happen to you? Here's the key. You've got to believe deeply what you believe, church. It cannot be just because somebody cracked the whip on you all the time. I'm telling you what I believe today is the same thing that my parents believe, and it's deep in me. It runs deep. Do you have your own foundation and relationship with the Lord? Are you serving God because someone is just making you serve God, husband or wife? The Bible says in Matthew 13:5, it talks about the seed that fell in the stony place. And it says that when the sun came up, it was scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Are you a withering Christian? Because you don't have your own root. As your influence, you got to get your own roots. Let me just say again, I thank God for the people, but I took ownership of those truths a long time ago. I took ownership. I was reading just recently about Billy Graham's kids. And I think the Bible says give honor where honor. He has five kids. All of them are serving the Lord faithfully. All of them are involved in ministry. But I was reading about Franklin Graham, probably the best known one of his kids. And Franklin Graham struggled a little bit. He had some pretty good hiccups. They collected a bunch of money and they sent him to do a work in Europe. And he actually went and partied all across Europe. Now, one reason I tell you that, because he's a man of God today. He's preaching the gospel around the world. And you know what? He's taken his dad definitely influenced. But let me just tell you, he owned it. At 22 years, he gave his heart to the Lord. And you know what? It's not daddy's religion. It's his God. You have to own. See, the problem with Joash, Jehoiada affected him, but he never owned it for himself. I've owned what's been handed off to me. I've owned what my parents gave me. I've owned what Pastor Jones has spoken into my life over the years. I don't want to be a withering Christian that has no root within themselves, the Bible says. If you have root, you'll stand. But if you have no root, you'll do what Joash did. He had not put down his own roots. I'm going to close. And, you know, years ago, we went through some pretty troublesome times in our fellowship as a whole. And there was some different things that happened. I remember at that time, you know, after that time, there were certain things that had been taught to me. And there were good things, even things that we still preach today. But it's like, I could have got out of the ministry when all of that upheaval. Church, let me just say upheaval comes. It's just when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with explosive things. And so people, I had two pastors that went one direction, two pastors that went the other direction. Both of them, the pastors were calling me and bending my ear and trying to convince me of this and that. And, you know, at that time, I had to make a decision for myself that I believed what I said I believed. You know, it always bothers me when people, later on in life, all of a sudden they shift. They don't believe in going to church no more. They don't believe in reading no more all the time. You don't have to do all that stuff. I've heard people, I don't believe in speaking tongues. Well, what were you doing for the last 20 years when you were supposedly speaking in tongues? You ever wonder about that? I believe what I believe. And I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in speaking tongues. I still speak in tongues. I hope that's the last thing I do before I go into eternity, is speak in tongues. Amen? So I had to make some decisions, and I had to own it for myself. I believe in reach, teach, and send. I believe in helping people. I believe in evangelizing. And I believe when you preach those things in your family and you own those things in your own life, it'll be very powerful. Who's influencing you today? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning, for to your shame I say that some of you don't know God at all. What sources are you listening to? What models do you have in your life? What books are you reading? You know, books can be very influential in your life. What things are you watching on television? Who inspires you? Who would you like to meet if you could just meet anybody? It better not be Hillary. Get your roots down in Jesus. Are you with me? Know God for yourself. Young person in this place, thank God for what your parents hand off, but now it's time for you to know God for yourself. If the parents are gone today, what happens? Will you be like Joash and blow everything up? That can happen. You can blow your family up. You can blow your life up. I want to be like Zechariah. He got what his dad had, right? He got what Jehoiada had. And when it came down, the same spirit that was in Jehoiada was in Zechariah. And when they started, when everybody else started going off the rails, he said, no. We need some people that can say no, right? We need some people say no. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We need people like that because that has tremendous influence. Every generation has to dig their own wells. Abraham dug wells, right? He established certain things in that land. And thank God for his influence. But you know what? Isaac came along, and Isaac had to redig some of the wells that Abraham, and then Jacob, and they had to redig and even dig their own new wells. Every generation has to own their own thing. Let's bow our heads today. Thank God for influence. I thank God today. If we could, even in this place, if we could see into the spiritual realm, the Bible says that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, people that have influenced, people that have gone before us, people that have showed us things in action. Are you saved today, my friend? Have you bowed your knee to Jesus and said, I want God to be the source of my life? I want God to be the chief influencer of my life. I want him to come into my heart. I want to get clean from sin. I'm telling you, there is perfection here today in the blood of Jesus Christ. You might say, I have messed up so bad, Pastor. That's okay. You're in a good place because Jesus has dealt with a lot of people that have messed up. He knows how to change the future from the past. If you don't know the Lord today, you're not right. Let me just tell you, if you're not right with God, you're headed towards the devil's hell. There's a real hell. There is an eternity that could happen in the next couple of minutes. We could be in eternity. None of us have a lease on life. We're either going to go in the rapture or we're going to go through death. And it can happen to any of us at any time. It doesn't matter your age. Not just old people die. Young people die too. Are you ready right now? If you step into eternity, where will you spend eternity? If you do not, cannot strongly and conclusively answer that, I want to ask you just to slip your hands up right now in this place, front to back, side to side. By raising your hand, you're saying, I realize today that I need to make my peace with God. I need to get right with Jesus. I need to be forgiven. I need to be cleansed. Very quickly, God's talking to you. This is not for me. This is not for this church. This is something you'll have to own for yourself. You say, I want Jesus to take charge of my life. Very quickly, God's speaking to you.